Amen. What a blessing. Am I on? Testing, 1, 2, 3. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? She can sing, can't she? I'm going to learn how to play the guitar when she sing that song, when they come in that middle part. And I'm going to get it. We're going to be a tag team duo. She's going to sing by herself, and then get that middle part. It's going to be my time to shine. Electric guitar. Hey, man, y'all think I'm kidding? Because I am. I'm not going to learn how to play electric guitar. I like listening to it, though. Amen. No instrument is bad if you use it right. Amen. Some of you you're not sure if that's true. All right. It don't matter. You'll find out when you get to heaven, they're going to play all of them. Amen. What a blessing. Let's thank the choir, the team, Pastor Mike, all of these folks today, leadership, Pascal. Wonderful. What a blessing to be in God's house. He's worthy of all of it. I said he's worthy of all of it and some. And we thank the Lord for the privilege of worshiping him. Well, you know where we're going. Philippians chapter number 1, preaching our way through our theme. Amen. Sister Wanda's up first. Which is not unusual. She's up first around here a lot. And I have no problem with it. Philippians chapter number 1. You're physically able to do so. We appreciate your willingness out of reverence for the word of God. They don't do that at every church. Doesn't make us right. Doesn't make them wrong. Doesn't make them wrong. Doesn't make us right. But we just do it, and we're thankful for the opportunity. People stand in attention for far less than the Bible. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to stand for it. Now look at verse 8, would you? Let's see if we can get to the end here, at least a little bit closer. For God is my record. Can you say that? I didn't mean out loud. But clearly, all of you got the same perception from that statement. So I'm wrong. Obviously. I meant in your life, can you say that? I know you can recite it. Okay. Great job. I would never call you wrong, because leading the charge in that force was my father. Amen. He was saying it. And if he said it, it had to be the right thing to do. Can you say it and mean it? Can you summon God to the witness stand on your own words? For God is my record. I ain't talking about I promise to God, I swear to God, I put my hand on the Bible. I'm talking about knowing that your talk matches God's talk, because you don't say something that God doesn't agree with. And what is he calling God to the witness stand about? Some of you say, oh, yes, I could call God to the witness stand. Well, let's take it further. Could you call him to your record about this area of your life? How greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Could you call God to testify about how much you love people? Amen. I'm talking about the people of God. And this I pray, that your, talk to me, verse number 9, you there? That your what?
Love
may yet
more
and
more
abound. Remember that word, overflow. In knowledge and in all, semicolon. Turn to your neighbor and say, love is a package deal. If you don't got all this other stuff, you don't got love. It comes with it. Amen. Two sides and a biscuit. All with the platter. Huh? I'm concerned about people that say they have love on the platter, but they're missing the sides and the biscuit. Why do I need to abound more and more in knowledge and in all judgment? Verse 10, semicolon, that ye may what? Things that are, yeah. So you can approve, so you can detect what's excellent. Don't you want to be doing what's excellent in your life? How are you going to do what's excellent if you don't know what excellent is? How are you going to know what excellent is if you don't have knowledge and judgment? How are you going to have knowledge and judgment if you don't have love? Preach, Pastor. That ye may be sincere and what? Ooh. Until when? Hadn't happened yet. Are you sincere without offense? Semicolon. Being what?
Filled.
With the fruits of? Where they come from? Which are by?
Jesus Christ.
For what purpose? Unto the what? Glory and? Let the church say amen. Boy, y'all can read good. Good gracious alive. 4.0 all the way across the board. Father, touch your people. Now help us not to read it without heeding it. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Use the Bible again in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We've already done some of the preaching. Thank you. We hate to work our visitors like that, but you just happen to be the closest. Appreciate you, my man. God bless you. Checks in the mail. More and more. Say it with me. More. Say it again. That means it keeps growing and growing and growing. I run into all these Christian people. The best they ever did for God was 10 years ago. Their greatest days. I mean, everything that's godly is preceded with back in the day. What are you doing for God today? Paul says, I'm in jail, but while I'm in jail, I'm thinking about you all, and I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. By the way, you know what Paul is teaching us? That even when you're going through a trial, you can still be praying for somebody else. I'm praying that your love, we talked about this agape love, unconditional love, totally irrespective of rights. It is not a love that responds to how I'm treated. It is a love that chooses to do right by people, even if they do us wrong. It's the way God loved us when we didn't love him. It's the way we're supposed to love God. It's the way we're supposed to love each other. It's the way a husband's supposed to love his wife. It's the way parents are supposed to love their children. It's the way we're supposed to love people that are headed to a devil's hell. It's agape love. He says, I want that in you to abound. I want it to overflow more and more. That's the goal for Crossroads Baptist Church in 2024. We don't want to sit down in the same spot all year long. We don't just want to cruise. We don't want to plateau. We don't want to arrive and hit the ceiling. We want to start in January. Now we're in April and in May and in June and July. It ought to be that we're doing more for God in May than we were in April. Come on now. We're doing more for God in June than we were in May. More in July than we were in June. More in August than we were in July. More in September, more in August. Listen, it ought to be that we are bound. I don't understand. I don't understand how we get more grace from God but do less for God. And so he's dealing with it. He gets to the very end. We've looked at all of these subjects. And we come to the last part of where we arrive at our theme more and more, and he's dealing with what I call increasing growth. Increasing growth. This is the desire of Paul for the believer. He says, I got a specific desire for you. This I pray. Listen, anybody that loves God, that teaches you the truth, is praying for you to grow. Parents should be praying for their kids to grow. The husband should be praying for his wife to grow. The wife should be praying for her husband to grow. The pastor should be praying for the people to grow. I'm not just praying that people come to church. I'm not just praying that they tithe. I'm not just praying that they sing in the choir. It is the goal of the pastor in his prayer that the people of God would be grow. God help us if we just hear coming every Sunday and we're not growing. So this is a specific desire. He says, I want your love. He says, I want your love. This I pray that your love may abound. Ladies and gentlemen, at the root of all that we do for the Lord, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love sits. It is the ground upon which all of our other spiritual graces stand. Listen, you and I, if we don't have love, forget about our teaching and our singing and our worshiping and all this stuff. Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we got all this stuff, and we don't have love, we are nothing. What is the problem with the church today? The problem is we got rules and we got regulations and we got standards and we got pet peeves, and some of us even have the right doctrine, but we're missing love. God help us to love. What comes with this specific desire when love comes into us? A scriptural depth. He says, that you might grow in love. And then he says, and in knowledge. Listen to me. The more I love God, the more I know about God. Come on now. And how can you know God by bypassing this Bible? Amen. Did you read it this morning? I said, did you read it this morning? Did you study it this week? Did you memorize it this week? Did you meditate on it this week? Listen, what you do with the Bible will determine what God does with you. You're not going to bypass the Word of God. It's become trite. It's become mundane. It's become outdated. It's become old-fashioned for just Bible-believing Christians to get up every day and walk with God and read the Bible. I'm convinced that most of the spiritual problems that Christian people have, that they're bombarding pastoral offices to get counsel on, most of them would fix themselves if the believer asking for counsel would go to the Bible every day for counsel and read it every day of the week. Amen. I've gotten to the point as a pastor where even if you're not reading the Bible every day as a Christian, you ought to at least come to church when we have church and the Bible's being preached. I just think it's counterproductive. I think it's impractical for a church member who doesn't value the Bible enough to listen to the pastor give it to the church at services to expect him to take his time outside of services and give them the same Bible on a personal level that they won't hear on a practical level three times a week. Most of what you need in the office, you would have already heard if you were in the auditorium. Don't get quiet on me, I'm preaching. Sometimes we don't want truth, we want attention. Well, the Bible will fix problems. Amen. Scriptural depth. What comes with scriptural depth? Sensible discernment. That you may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Say it with me, judgment. Discernment. Discernment is when God gives me the wisdom and the prudence to be able to differentiate, to be able to decide, to be able to identify, to be able to evaluate. The minor prophet said, multitudes in the valley of decision. Oh, I tell you what, I'd hate to live in the United States of America in 2024 without discernment. Amen. Huh? How are you going to get married? You don't have no discernment. Amen. How many of you single people want to get married? Put your hand up. Come on. Tell it. You put both of your hands up. You could have left them down. We already knew. Yeah, you might as well. You know, you're acting like you don't want to tell people. Get on the prayer list. But have you seen what's out there? Thank God I ain't looking for a wife in 2024. Amen. But why are we talking about it? Not only is it hard for a man to find a good woman, it's even harder for a woman to find a good man. But okay, all right. Y'all got to rub it in. Yes. Amen. Preach, Pastor. Yes. Say it now. Yes. I didn't say they weren't men. I just said there are a lot of good men out there. I mean, people still having babies. Mamas are still having boys, and mamas are still having girls. And the girls are still growing up to being women, and the men are still young. The boys are growing up to being men, but they're not good men. I'm saying, what are you going to do, young lady, when you go out there and you got five of them that are all in your face? How do you know which one God wants you to say yes to? You better love so that your love gives you knowledge and that your knowledge gives you discernment. Loving God isn't just about having a little mushy time with him in the morning. It's about loving him to the point that he begins to infuse his mind into your mind. Sensible discernment. How about this? Sound discretion. That you may approve things that are excellent. But I tell you, it's just amazing. Some of you have not ordered the platter. And by the way, some Christian people just, they don't understand what's important in the Christian life. Amen. You know what I'm saying? You don't go to the most world-renowned steakhouse and order chicken fingers. Am I listening? You know what I'm saying? When you get to somewhere that specializes in something, you order what they specialize in because you know that the main dish needs to be the main dish. And I didn't come down here and pay $10 for them to park my car and $100 for them to feed me and 20% added in gratuity to eat some chicken fingers that I could have ordered from DoorDash from McDonald's. And I think sometimes we're coveting the wrong things. We're in the Christian life and we're chasing chicken fingers instead of love. We're trying to look good in church. We spend more time with our outfits on Sunday than we spend loving people. We spend more time making things sound good than we do walking with God. We spend more time impressing the brethren more than we do being right with Almighty God. Here's what Paul says, when you love, by the way, what he says, love, that your love may abound, that means your love for God first, right? You got to love God more and more. And when you love God more and more, you'll love other people more and more. And as you love God, by the way, if you love people, you spend more time with them. If you love God, you spend more time with them. If you love people, you do things that they love. Come on now. If you love people, you treat them properly. If you love people, you tell other people about them. I'll tell you what, we don't love God, so we don't spend time with God. If we don't love God, so we don't do things that God loves. We don't love God, so we don't tell other people about love. I'll tell you who you love, people you talk about all week long. You love your car, that's why you wash it and why you wax it and why you put rims on it and why you tint it and why you take it to the car wash and why you don't want anybody to eat in it and why you got them mats on it, because you love your car. Do you love your Bible like that? You love your God like that? That you may approve things that are excellent. Are you missing excellent things in your life? One writer said the greatest enemy of great is good. We cease to access great because we settle for good. He didn't say that you may approve things that are average, that you may approve things that are not bad. That's where most Christians live. I'm just trying not to be bad. No, Paul said, don't try not to be bad. Try to be excellent. Approve things that are excellent. Hey, do you want excellent friends? Excellent habits? Huh? I mean, excellent is better than good. I mean, excellent is the superlative of good. That you may approve things that are excellent. And there's a generation of Christian people that walk up on the scene and they look at all of these choices and they pick things that are bad or average. They don't have the discretion, he said, to approve things that are excellent. You know what that means? You know what? When you approve something, it means you sanction it. That means you validate it. When I approve it, that means I put my stamp on it to say I agree with it. I'm concerned about how many Christian people are agreeing with foolishness. I don't have social media, but I heard about it a few times. And I just want to tell you something while I'm thinking about it. You better be careful what you like. Don't get quiet on me. Be careful what you like. When you see something that's foolish and you hit like, that means you are approving things that are not excellent. And sometimes you don't know how to do any different because you don't love God. And so now you're approving things that God doesn't love because you don't know it because you don't love him. Wait for it. You love God, you'll know how to silence that phone. Phone's going off in church. That's not excellent. It's all right. It happens. It's all good. It's a cute sound. How about this sincere devotion? That ye may be sincere. You know what that is? Genuine. Watch this now. Real. Amen. Honest. Yes. Authentic. Amen. Listen. You can't try to be genuine. You are or you're not. And Lord, I tell you what, if this is not the day of the hypocrite, come on. I mean, everything, it's all about presentation. Shout in church and fornicate outside of church. That wasn't a phone, that was a whistle. Right in sync. Be careful. It's insincere. When you shake somebody's hand, mean it. When you tell somebody you're praying for them, mean it. Well, Pastor, I didn't mean to say it and not mean it. I know you didn't mean to say it and not mean it, but when you don't have love, that's what happens. This is sincerity flows out of a heart of love. I talked to people that said, I know Christian people that kept promising me they're going to do something, and they keep not showing. That's a love problem. I said that's a love problem. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Sincere devotion. Look at the next one, and I think I'll close here. Sustain distinction. That ye may be sincere. Wait a minute. This all goes back to verse 9. This I pray that your love may abound yet more and more. And what happens? In knowledge, in judgment. 10, approve things that are excellent. 10, that ye may be sincere. 10, without offense. Sustained distinction. An offense is a stumbling block. You know what a stumbling block does? It trips up somebody. It causes somebody else to fall. And Paul uses the word here in Philippians chapter 1, an offense. So here's what he says. When a child of God is living a Christian life with offenses, in other words, I'm doing something as a Christian that is unbecoming of a Christian, and other people look at what I'm doing as a Christian that Christians should not do, and because they see me doing it, I'm supposed to be a good Christian, I cause them to stumble because I confuse them, and now they're copying me because I'm supposed to be copying Jesus, but I'm not copying Jesus, I'm offending. So now I'm not only wrecking my life, I'm wrecking somebody else's life because I'm not just tripping, I'm causing somebody else to trip too. I got in my office this morning. My wife and I came to choir rehearsal. She was here at 9, and I went and washed the car, and I came back. So I went up to my office, and I sat there for a little while, and I was putting my offering envelope together and thinking about my notes and going through some mail. And I said, who's been in this office? Now, I've been out of town this week. Who's been in here? I looked in front of me, and some of my nephew's clothes were still there from when he had changed the day of his wedding. I thought, is it them clothes he left in here? I hope not. That was wedding day. What is going on? And I just kept, I'm thinking to myself, something died in the ceiling. I'm serious. There's all this stuff going. So first, I thought it was me. So I just kept on going. I kept on going and said, Lord, it's still stinking here. I thought maybe Deontay used my bathroom this week. While I was gone. I looked down at my shoes. Sometime taking the trash out this morning, I stepped in poop. Done blame the newlywed for stank clothes. Done blame my son for stinking up the bathroom. Something died in the church. The deacons ain't cleaned the building right. I mean, I blamed everybody. You know what the problem was? The problem was my clean self stepped in some dirty stuff. And it was stinking up the whole room. I wonder if there's some Christians in the building. Everywhere you go, every church you go to, every friendship you get in, every job you go to, every friend group you get around, every clique you register for, every week it's somebody else, and you just blaming the world. This person don't do you right. This church ain't right. The preaching ain't right. The singing ain't right. Your friends ain't right. Ain't no man good enough for you. Ain't no girl good. Everything's wrong. You stepped in poop. And sometimes the problem's not with other people. Sometimes the problem is with us. You know what I had to do? Humble myself. She talking about throw the shoes away. No. These Allen Edmonds, that wasn't throwing them away. All right, I can tell you that right now. I called my wife up to the office. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't tell her. Look, I'm at church. Do you think I want to walk around the whole day, all the way around the auditorium, smelling like poop? So I went to that bathroom that Deontay had not been in. And I had to get soap and water and paper towels and more soap and spray and tissue. I'm just scratching all in deep into the shoe. Then all that on the leather. Then I had to go get my shoe shine cloth and buff it back out. Then, wait a minute now. And put all them paper towels and tissues in a plastic bag. Come on, preach, Pastor. Wait a minute. Just because you done cleaned up the shoe doesn't mean you can leave the stuff you cleaned it up with in the office. Somebody help me preach. Some of you have asked forgiveness for your sin, but you didn't throw away all that other mess. Room still stinks. You trying to tell everybody your shoes are clean, but what about the paper towels? So then I had to get a bag and walk to the dumpster, right? Because I don't want my office to be stinking from paper towels that cleaned up a dirty shoe that's clean, but the towel still. Is anybody listening? Be careful, Christian. We're going to have to clean up these offenses in our lives. Because with the offense comes a stench. You have to clean it up. And that may mean you have to quit doing some things that aren't Christian. And after you quit doing them, you might have to talk to the people that used to watch you do them. And say, I don't do them anymore, but I want to let you know I shouldn't have ever done them. Because I can't just clean up the shoe. I got to discard the dirty paper towels too. Because stinky things don't just mess me up. They offend others and cause them to stumble too. Your Christianity matters. I'm grown. I can go where I want to go. I can say what I want to say. I can do what I want to do. I can act how I want to act. And I can post it. And a bunch of supposedly godly people can like the post of me being foolish. And then all the people that just got saved recently are watching and going, that's what y'all do? You leave out of here, well, the preaching stank today. I mean, all he did was just get all, no. Check your shoes. Check your shoes. It might not be the preacher. You might have stepped in something last night. Don't get mad at the preacher. Humble yourself. Get some soap. Get some paper towels. Get some air freshener. Clean your shoes up. Get your shine cloth. Shine them up. And start walking like a Christian should walk. So that people can see Jesus and see you without a contradiction. Amen. Bless his holy name. Our Father, I'm talking to all of us. All of us. We need to check ourselves. Without offense until the day of Christ. Oh, God, help us. Forgive us for the times in our lives we cause offenses. God, help us. Heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. If you know it, would you raise your hand? I'm saved and I know it. Some are already on the altar. You can go. You don't have to wait for them if God spoke to you. God bless you all over the building. Put your hands down. Pastor, I'm here. I got my hand up because I know I'm going to heaven. But Pastor, I need to work on my love so that I can have more insight in the Bible and more judgment and more discretion to approve and be more sincere and be without offense. I don't want anything in my life that caused people to stumble. God has spoken to me, dealt with me, revealed some things in my life need to be cleaned up. I receive it. I receive it in Jesus' name. God has spoken to me. Would you raise your hand all over the building? God bless you. God bless you. Some Christians, if you never find anything wrong, you're going to never get better. Last question. Pastor, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I don't want to go to hell. Anybody like that? I'm not sure if I died, did I go to heaven, but I don't want to go to hell. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that? Would you let me pray for you? I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I know I don't want to go to hell. Would you slip your hand up? I'll not embarrass you or call your name out. I just want to pray for you. Just raise your hand long enough for me to see it. Anybody like that? Thank you, young lady. I appreciate you. Anyone else? This is serious. I don't want to mess somebody else up. Jesus said of the Pharisees, you shut up the windows of heaven with that phoniness. We don't want that, do we? No. We want to be real. Why don't you in your seat right all over the building just ask God to help you. All of you to put your hand up just a moment ago. All of us together as a church. Let's be a church that causes people to grow in the Lord, not causes people to stumble. Why don't you talk to God about it right there in your seat? God, help me. Help me to give me some discernment, Lord. Some sincerity. Give me a Christian life with a follow through that I actually do what I say I'm going to do. And Lord, let me go back to the Genesis of where it all begins. Love. Love. Help us. Please help us. You pray just a moment. Our Father, we pray that you'll take control of this service. We're about to end it, but that what's begun in us today would continue. We got to get serious about the Christian life. And it all starts with love. We bless you for being a good God, a great God, a faithful God. In Jesus' name, amen. How many glad you came to church today?